Welcome to Bucks Kickoff on JoeBucksFan.com, presented by Tampa Bay Ford's first family of Ford. That is Bill Curry, Ford.com. Oh, they are the place that if you're thinking about buying, leasing, getting your vehicle serviced, you go to the GOAT, GM Sean Sullivan. They're located a quarter mile right up the street on Dale Mabry from Raymond James Stadium. They've been in business 60 years. All right, Bill Curry Ford, they're my guys. And I am here to tell you what I have seen behind the walls inside One Buck. I'm there for practice. I watch. I shoot video. I observe. I listen. I ask questions in the press conferences. I got a friend that covers the Washington football team. What I have learned, what I have seen, this is your best coverage 24 hours before the kickoff right here every single week. All right, I always bring in an A-lister. A rock lister, somebody that has been covering the Buccaneers, and that is Kevin O'Donnell from Fox 13. You go way back. I think it's his fourth decade of covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I saw him at a practice. He will stop by here to give his perspective. I like to get a little different perspective than just me. So sit back and relax. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, and here we go. No Gronk, no AB, no cornerback Rashard Robinson. The Gronk situation, he runs on the far field, and he's keeping himself in good cardio, but with the ribs. I know Jay Glazer from Fox said that he had a punctured lung. The Bucs haven't said that, but whatever. And Arians even admitted maybe we shouldn't have put him in last time. Let him heal. Let him heal. He's got that vibe with the GOAT and in the red zone and in clutch situations. You're going to need him end of the year and in the playoffs. So Gronk is not playing. Now, Antonio Brown, I haven't even seen him run. He looks like he's a ways away. I think that's the reason why that they signed Breshad Perriman. And I got more on Perriman as he's back since 2019 when he lit it up at the end of the year. Remember that? But that was with the different quarterback. That wasn't with the GOAT, Tom Brady. But anyway, I think Antonio Brown is a ways away. He came out on Thursday. He actually had the helmet. I'm like, oh, my God, he's real far away. And he actually took the tarp himself off the jugs machine, put it down, and then a coach came over, and then he started doing that. You know, they make the movement with the arm, boom, catch, just try to, you know, get a little bit loose. But he wasn't doing any kind of running. So I still think he is a ways away. The bye week, okay? Listening to several of the players, you know, what'd you do during the bye week, this and that? He said that we did not go into that bye week with a good taste in their mouths. They were embarrassed against the New Orleans Saints. They were pissed off against that Saints. And I think that they are loaded for bear. Arians thinks that this team is so talented that they're not going to be embarrassed two games in a row. They're not going to let it happen. And I really believe that. I did hear the crowd noise being pumped in. I heard it on Wednesday, heard it on Thursday. When you look at these numbers, it's strange. It's so different. This Buccaneer team is so different when they play on the road compared to playing at home. A lot different. Numbers all the way around. Why is that? I mean, Brady's played in big games. It's not, you know, in hostile situations. But all last year, they didn't play in front of anybody. So there was no home field advantage for these opposing teams when they would fly in. You know, they got to the Green Bay game, and the Green Bay said there was only 9,000, and that was bull. And that was kind of loud, and that's when they started pumping in the crowd noise in the practices, because B.A., Brady said, knew. He kind of had a feeling it was going to be loud in Green Bay. So anyway, I don't know, but I know somebody that was at the game in New Orleans and said it was the loudest he had ever heard at any place, indoor, outdoor. So we'll see. We'll see. And Washington, I would assume that the good thing is it's a 1 o'clock game. When you get the 4 o'clock games, and especially the night games, you get the opposing fans that have been drinking. And they get the beer muscles, and they get really loud. I'm not saying all, but you know what I'm talking about. So, we'll see about that. But I'm trying to figure out why. Why? And we still got plenty of football to play. Why are they not playing nearly as good on the road as they are at home? I asked... Now, Richard Sherman. I watched him warming up. And what they do is they have these high hurdles. And Leonard Fournette, a lot of the running backs sometimes go over there. And it's how they like stretch out their leg muscles. They'll throw their legs over the hurdle. And Richard Sherman, compared to the, you know, a week or two ago, he looks fine. But as Arians always stresses, a guy can run and run fine. Just like Scotty Miller. When he does his sprinting before practice, he is, he's like a jet. But it's when you get in games. You cannot simulate a game situation. And Sherman's a little bit older. It wasn't hamstring, but he's getting the treatment. He keeps himself in good shape. So Richard Sherman, to me, he looks fine. Bringing in more players, they've had to do that. Like this tight end Fells, Brashad Perryman. And I even asked Arians this week, that must be a big factor for you. When you guys bring in players during the season, majority of the time, these guys have already played for you. And he goes, yes, it's a two-part thing. Number one, they already know the terminology. Okay, so they know the system and they know the terminology. And you know what Arians also said? And number two, I know the player. Like, I know the player. I know whether he works hard. I know whether he's going to block, whether he's going to bitch and moan if he doesn't get his way or something. I know the player. So that cuts out a lot of time. So this Fells, who's an older dude, you're probably going to see him. Now, I did notice Brashad Perryman on Thursday, and he was getting one-on-one instruction by one of the coaches. They were going over steps, how the route, he was showing them precise. Because remember, when Brashad Perryman lit it up at the end of the 2019 season, that was not with the GOAT. Okay, that was the other regime. So, and Perryman, he reminds me when he gets on the podium, like a Todd Bowles. He doesn't like doing interviews. He's kind of shy and reserved. He doesn't give much. You know, he's like, oh, it's like he's going to the dentist. You know, last thing I want to do. But he did say, we said, what about Tom? Tom came over. Tom talked to me. Tom said, you know, how you doing? And he goes, anything you need, you ask me. What? And I'm like, wow, there's not every veteran quarterback goes over and talks to each new guy that comes in. That is Brady. Now, Brady hasn't worked with them. Brady even told us that he's still getting to know some of these receivers that he's been, this is in his second year. He's like, when I was in New England, I was with some receivers for 10 years. You know, you don't have to make any gesture, motion. You can look him in the eye. You just know. So it's still a learning process, and especially for someone like Brashad Perryman that doesn't know Brady. But he has been around, he is a veteran, and at least he knows the terminology and he knows the system. And here's the other thing too. Now, defensively, why is this talented front with Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, Vita in the middle is unbelievable. Golston, Shaq Barrett, like why are they not getting sacks? And Arian said, he said it on local radio here in 620, and he also has said it to us. A lot of times it's the back end, the coverage. If those guys are a little soft or they're not tight, it gives the quarterback an advantage, and that might be the reason. But he also said that they are getting to these opposing quarterbacks. They're not just getting them down on the ground. What I'm looking for in this game, the X factor, watch out for Tyler Johnson. Now, I'm expecting him to play in the slot. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't hear, Gronk out, Antonio Brown out, Rashad Robinson, their cornerback, out. Godwin is a game time decision. He's got a foot injury. That's all we know. If he is not able to go, or if he's only able to play a little bit, I expect Tyler Johnson to be in the slot. If you notice closely, the last couple of weeks, Tyler Johnson has been playing in a B spot. Now, what about Scotty Miller? Scotty Miller told us that, you know, he really wants to go, but whatever the coaches think. And he had a little bit more damage than we originally thought with that turf toe. There was some ligament damage in there. It's a painful thing. So we'll see. I asked Scotty Miller, though. I said, a guy in your situation, when you see the waiver wire and what's been going on around the NFL, like an OBJ. OBJ is out there now. You know, what does that concern you? And he said that he really tries not to even watch that, or he really doesn't look at that. And I'm thinking, is that possible? Is that possible? Because there were some talk, is OBJ going to come here? Oh, Brady, doesn't Brady, Brady likes OBJ. Or Brady was the one that he wore out Light and Arians last year to get Antonio Brown in here. What about that? So he says, Scotty Miller says that he does not pay attention to that. He can't, because he goes, there are players that are so good around the world, and he's just got to do his business. Sean Murphy Bunting is also a possibility. And it was kind of interesting because he was telling us that in all his years of playing sports, he's never been out like for a period with an injury, ever. And he got a whole different perspective watching the game as like you and me. And it was hard. It was hard. A lot of guys have a hard time with rehab and not being out there. And he's another talented player that, again, I hope that they don't rush him back. You know what I'm saying? All right. I'm going to tell you what more things that I have seen at One Buck this week. We'll get into the Washington football team. But let me bring on my rock lister. Now, what I try to do is every week I try to bring you somebody, whether it be national, whether it be local, get a different voice, get a different opinion. This is Kevin O'Donnell of Fox 13. Boy, has he been covering the Bucks a long time. You're talking about just about, I think, four decades? Oh, my God. So what's he think? Here we go. I saw him at practice. My man, Kevin.
All right, I am with longtime TV sports reporter, anchor in the market, Kevin O'Donnell, Fox 13. He's covered the Buccaneers. When?
First year, 1987, Rock. How about that?
Whoa.
Ray Perkins, first year. How about that? That's gonna knock your eardrums out.
Yeah, that's about it. Anybody, their laptop, they spill their coffee or their beer or whatever if they're pre-gaming. All right.
That's when they actually had film for practice, I think.
Oh, my God.
Way back.
Unbelievable. All right, where we're at, they had the bye. They had the loss to New Orleans. We heard some of the players say they were pissed off. So, I mean, they're ready. Where do you think they are at? Where they are right now and going into this Washington game? We'll get into the matchup. Are they pretty much where you thought or not quite so, Kevin O'Donnell?
No, I think they're underachieving right now, Rock. You know, honestly, if you look at this roster, and we've heard it from every player from Tom Brady on down, second season, we're going to be better. Well, they're 6-2. You know, same record as they had in the first 8 games of the season last year. Now, Brady's number have improved tremendously. He leads the league in yardage in players that have gone through 8 games already and in touchdown passes. He's clearly clicking. Obviously, they have so many weapons on this team. I honestly thought they'd be 8-0 at this point.
You're kidding me.
No, not at all.
Come on, it's the NFL.
I know it is the NFL, but this team is so talented, much more than any team in the league right now. And I don't think we've seen all of this. I think injuries have certainly taken a toll on this team, you know, and that's one thing that is the neutralizer in the NFL is injuries. And you look every week, one of their stars has come up with some type of injury that's kept them out for a while.
What about the penalty situation? That's the thing that running kind of surprises me.
Yeah, I agree with that, because you thought they had it corrected last year after that Chicago disaster where they lost in Chicago against the Bears with, I think they had 12 penalties in that game. And it certainly cost them that game. From there on out, they were number one in the league and fewest penalties committed. This year, they're right back to where, you know, we saw them in the first 6 weeks of the season last year. So that's kind of disappointing that Tom Brady hasn't really, you know, put his foot down again with these guys, because a lot of these penalties are undisciplined.
All right, offensively, though, like you said, they're putting up big, big numbers. Brady is not getting hit. I think the line is doing a good job. And the running game with Fournette has been coming around. Rojo, really, they keep talking highly of Rojo, but I really haven't seen so much. Overall, offensively, what say you?
I like the play of Leonard Fournette. I think that's why we're not seeing Rojo at all. I think, you know, he's looking like the guy we saw at LSU, what made him a first-round pick with the Jacksonville Jaguars a few years back. He certainly has warranted all the reps that he's getting in this game. Disappointed that Gio Bernard's not been used a little bit more with Brady. He was supposed to be the third down back, you know, that Brady was going to rely on, you know, on the check down passes. We've not seen enough of that. And we've just not seen enough of the explosive plays downfield, I think, of late over the last few games. I think we're about to see it this weekend against Washington. Hey, how about this Washington football team? Dead last in the league in pass defense. This is the first time in Tom Brady's career that he's has the number one passing attack going against the worst pass defense in the league. So we could see 50, 60 points this week. It would be nice.
All right, defensively for the Buccaneers, they're going up against Taylor Heinicke. Now, he did a fantastic job last year in the playoff game, but as the players and Arians have been telling us, they were actually preparing for Alex Smith. That was like a game-time switcheroo, and so sometimes those quarterbacks can come in, they don't have the film. Now they know. What are you expecting from this Buccaneer defense against the Washington football team's offense?
Yeah, Heinicke certainly looked like a Pro Bowler last year in the playoffs against the Bucs. I think that's something that's probably in the back of their mind, that they let him tear them apart up in Washington. Obviously, they came away with the victory in that playoff game, but I think they're really clamped down on him. They've seen enough tape on him, and Heinicke certainly not having the success that I thought he would have this year. Washington's, what, 2-6 now?
Right, exactly. What about the Bucs defense overall? Are they about where you thought they were, or are they less than your expectations, you think?
Less than I expected. Part of it has to do with the injuries. But if you look at the team at the beginning of the year before the injuries started mounting with this team, that secondary did not look that good. They never picked up from what we saw at the end of last year and the progress that young secondary was making. So they still have me a little concerned. I know Sean Murphy Bunting is probably going to come back this week. Richard Sherman looks like he'll be available, and hopefully he's game ready at this point. But I think we're going to see progress with this defense, but disappointing so far that they've not. The one guy really who probably stands out to me the most, Devin White. Where are all the splash plays from Devin White? Zero interceptions and no sacks. And last year he had, I think, 5 at this point. So he's a guy I think we're going to see in the second half really crank it up, and they're going to need him to.
All right, Kevin O'Donnell, Fox 13, give me the prediction. How do you think this game is going to shake out?
Complete blowout against the Washington football team. I think the Bucs have had this bye week. They're probably just, it's probably gnawing at Brady that he lost to the Saints. He just does not like to lose games, and he threw 2 picks in that game. Very unlike him to throw 2 interceptions. It seems like the Saints have his number when it comes to their defense, but I think he's going to come out. You're going to see one of his best games of the season.
Kevin O'Donnell, Fox 13, thank you.
All right, Rock, great talking to you.
All right, he expected them to be 8-0 right now. he even mentioned to Leftwich, you know, you guys are predicted to be 17-0, and then Leftwich answers and he goes, and that's you guys, like 17-0, or the talk about Brady MVP. He's like, there's so many TVs in this building, we're always watching, walking and see, oh, Brady MVP. We don't concern ourselves with that. But thank you very much, Kevin. Kevin, good job. He's been around a long, long, long time covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The thing I disagree with, Kevin O'Donnell, with you, is this thing about them should be 8-0, or really should be 17-0, because they have so much talent on paper. It's the NFL. That's why I don't even bet. The NFL. Look at what happened. Look at Thursday night. Baltimore Ravens against the Dolphins. Dolphins won. What about the Ravens? Lamar Jackson, blah, blah, blah. Look at the games last week. They didn't make sense. It's the NFL. That's why they don't take the Washington football team lightly. All right, we're going to get in. Let me get into the Washington football team. What are they going to bring? All right, time for our scouting report. Before we do that, let me tell you about Bill Curry Ford. Oh, my God. Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. Beautiful showroom. 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. The Curry family has been in beeswax for 61 years. GM Sean Sullivan is the Tom Brady of GMs. He's always there, always ready to field your questions. If you're thinking about buying, leasing, you want your vehicle serviced right. You don't want to be taken to the cleaners. You don't want any habit. You want it done right. You go to BillCurryFord.com. How can you get a hold of Sean Sullivan? Several ways. You can email him. Go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. You can stop in their showroom and say, Rock Riley said, I can talk to Sean Sullivan. Rock Riley from Joe Bucks fan? Okay, let me get Sean Sullivan for you. This is great. There's a Joe Bucks fan discount. So if you're a Joe Bucks fan, you're listening now, you're looking for a vehicle, tell them go there, you get the discount. And they love Bucks fans so much. Bill Curry Ford is the home of the nationwide lifetime warranty. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Where do you get that? You get it at Bill Curry Ford. Go to BillCurryFord.com. All right, let's get into the Washington football team. This game started, I believe it was like a 10-point underdog for the Washington football team. They lost to the Donkeys, the Denver Broncos, 17-14 in Mile High. Ron Rivera afterwards, this week, he was asked, like, okay, you had the bye week. What are you thinking about changing? He's like, no. I did not do that when I was with the Carolina. I'm doing it now. We are sticking to our plan. I want to see growth. He admits, though, he's pretty good. He was pretty damn honest this week. They have taken a step back. He said, he was asked, like, all right, what about that that victory? It was almost like a victory. You know, the way you played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that NFC wildcard game. Do you still have that vibe? Can you take something from that? And he goes, you know what? That's kind of waned. That was last season. I'm looking at what we've been doing now, which has not been much. If you look at last year for Washington, they started 1-5. Then remember they had the cancer diagnosis on Ron Rivera. They had a 5-2 finish at the regular season. How about Taylor Heinicke? How well he played in that playoff game. It has not been that way. And especially there was a lot of hope for the defense of the Washington football team, and has not been anywhere near what those expectations were. Let's get to some of the matchups. Their guy, their wide receiver, Terry McLaurin, he's the guy, all right? Against the Buccaneers last January, 6 catches, 75 yards in the wild card game. I believe that Carlton Davis is going to be on McLaurin. I know Davis plays on the right side. Carlton Davis has been playing well of late, and they do move McLaurin around. But this is a big matchup for Carlton Davis. The Washington football pass defense, not very good. And against this Buccaneer offense with the wide receivers and tight ends, even if Godwin can't go or can't go much, and no Antonio Brown with the GOAT, boom, big check mark on Brady's end. The Washington football team secondary has allowed the most yards per game in the NFL. They're giving up 300 yards per game. The pass defense has allowed the second most touchdowns at 20 through 9 weeks in the NFL. They're giving up a lot of yards, and they're giving up the six. Quarterbacks that go against the Washington football team, their average is a 107.7 rating when they play the Washington football team. Only the Jets, I think it's the Dolphins, and the Jaguars are worse. The Washington football team, sixth most defensive pass interference penalties. Tampa Bay is got seventh most defensive pass interference on offense. The matchup to look at, and I don't like to really go too much in the trenches, but Jonathan Allen is a stud on that defensive line for Washington. All right, he is very, very strong. And then when you look at the tape, he actually pushes the linemen off their spot. He is that strong. Now, he's going to be going up against Ali Marpet. Ali Marpet is a Pro Bowler. Should be. Will be. Ali Marpet has gotten better each year. He's worked on his technique. In the offseason, I was over at Yo Murphy's place. Yo Murphy, the former NFL player, he trains a lot of players. He trains NFL guys. He trains guys getting ready for the combine. I think he had a boatload that were drafted. He had some first rounders. I was there when Devontae Smith was here. Devontae Smith, this skinny legs on the kid, but real talented. You know what I mean? Out of Alabama, in the Eagles. Anyway, Ali Marpet's there. If I go there, Ali Marpet's there with Vita, working all off season. Ali Marpet, and I think Joe from Joe Bucks Fan had this stat, has not allowed, I think it came from Pro Football Focus, but I believe I read it on Joe Bucks Fan. Ali Marpet has not allowed a quarterback hit this season. He's one of six guards in the NFL with at least 548 blocking snaps, and he has not allowed one quarterback hit. The GOAT has not been hit one time in over 548 snaps when they're pass blocking. How about that? How about that? And if you remember last year in that NFC wild card game, Allen didn't do anything. Ali Marpet shut him down. So, and Allen from Pro Football Focus, he's got the most quarterback hits in the NFL. The other name, Chase Young. What happened to Chase Young? Remember Chase Young last year? Oh, we want Tom Brady. We want Tom Brady. Hey, the kid was feeling it. He was balling out as a rookie. He has not been the same. Two things. You know why? Because you got opposing coaches that study. They study film. They're getting paid a lot of money. They have figured you out, and the kid is pressing. And Ron Rivera mentioned it himself this week. He's like, publicly, he goes, honestly, here's what I think is wrong. This is a Ron Rivera, Chase Young. He stuck to the edge a little bit longer last year before he would duck inside. He's pushing inside too much. And what that does is that creates throwing lanes for quarterbacks. So I see Brady going over the middle a lot in this game. And, you know, there was a reporter at the press conference in Washington who's trying to, like, bait Rivera. He's like, I'm kind of surprised that you actually called him out publicly like that. When did that decision come to actually call him out publicly to us? And he's like, I'm not telling you anything that I didn't already have a talk with him. And everybody can see it. And Rivera did not take the bait. He could have got into an argument, then that would have gone viral. But Ron Rivera, I have a ton of respect for Ron Rivera. All right, Bruce Arians, Levante David, they both raved about Taylor Heinicke. Arians goes, he can run. He throws some great balls. He did that in that playoff game. Heinicke in the playoff game last year against the Buccos, 26-34, 304 yards, one touchdown, one pick, ran for 46. He had the four-yard touchdown run. Heinicke got a two-year deal based off of that game. Thank you, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You paid for Heinicke for a two-year deal. And if you remember, Fitzmagic was actually the starter going into this season. And then it was on, I believe it was like the fourth offensive drive of the season when he went down with the hip injury, and Heinicke has been the guy. But again, last year when the Bucs were playing in that playoff game, and it was Taylor Heinicke, and he was making mincemeat out of the Buccaneer defense, and he was looking good, legs and arm, they were preparing for Alex Smith. And all of a sudden, it's Heinicke. He's like, who's this guy? You know what I mean? So you just never know. But they're fairly talented on offense. McLaurin, like I said, he's their threat. You got Antonio Gibson. You got J.D. McKissick as well. And Levante was saying that, no, Taylor Heinicke is still pretty damn good. I'm telling you, I'm feeling a vibe. I just think that the Buccaneers are going to play well. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout. I'm not like Kevin O'Donnell here, because it's the NFL. But I'll be surprised if they don't have a good performance. What I have seen inside One Buck this week, the focus, they're getting, being able to practice outside. The weather's beautiful here now, whereas up north, it's a different story. Gio Bernard, Antoine Winfield both told us that the majority of Buccaneer players were pissed off that they lost to the Saints going into that bye week. I think there's something to that, because there's a lot of pride. Arians has even said that this group, and it's this talented, they're not going to play bad 2 weeks in a row. I would be really surprised. Okay. like I told you, Gronk, far away field, keep him out until he's ready to go. Because you need him for blocking. He is as good of a blocker as there is. And they need that besides being in the red zone. So I'm fine with Gronk. AB is a way away. Sherman looks like he's ready. I hit on Scotty Miller a little bit already. Darren Fells. Now here's a tight end that they just signed because of the Gronk situation. He's a veteran. And Arians was like, he played for me. Arians likes that because he knows the player. And you may see this Darren Fells. Brashad Perryman, he does know the system. I wouldn't be surprised. I just think Tyler Johnson. I think you're going to see more of him in this game. The biggest thing that continues to plague the Buccaneers is the penalties and, of course, the injuries. That they got to clean that up. Now, yes, they did it after the bye week last year, but that was last year. That doesn't mean just because this is a bye week, they're going to clean that up. Everything is going to be okay. So, Tom Brady. Brady, I tried to loosen him up a little bit. Like, he came in, he talks on Thursdays. And, you know, he was asked, I think Jenna Lane started, how was your bye week? You know, blah, blah, blah. Now, as long as I've been covering the NFL, the most players, they recharge. And even Arian said, mentally and physically. Some don't even do anything. Some do just a light little walking, running. Some try to stay off their feet, try to heal. They just try to forget about football because they've been going since training camp. Not the GOAT. Did you hear what the GOAT said this week? Oh, it's no. We're football players. We think about football, and football's on the TVs and things like that. No, we just think football. That's what Brady did during his bye week. He thought it was football. Football, football, football. I don't have to get into too many stats with the GOAT, but as a Buccaneer, this one really blew me away. As a Buccaneer, all right, we're in season 1.5 when the Bucs are in the red zone. Brady has 53 touchdowns, no interceptions. He is tied for first in that category. He is first in completions, 105. Brady is pretty much perfect in the red zone because that's when it counts. There was an offense. For you longtime Buccaneer fans, this name's going to blow you away. Les Steckel. You remember that name? He called it the green zone. I'm like, why do you call it the green zone? Everybody calls it the red zone. Because that's the money zone. That's when you make your money, when it counts, in the red zone. That's the GOAT. I was listening to Lars Anderson has this book out now, A Season in the Sun. Sage, Ira Kaufman from Joe Bucks Fan, wrote the foreword. He knows Lars Anderson. He got to go to Bruce Arians' house. And I haven't read the book yet. I can't wait to read it. But the excerpts, I heard him on DAE Radio in Tampa. Great. Oh, he was giving great insight. On the Colin Cowherd show, Joe picked this up on Joe Bucks Fan, courtesy of Joe. Brady wore Bruce Arians and Jason Light out to sign Antonio Brown. He wore them out where they're like, Tom wants him this bad? Okay. We'll sign Antonio Brown. And Lars Anderson said that Brady picked up Antonio Brown at the airport. Can you imagine that? You know how they make you move quick? Like when you go to TIA, Tampa International Airport, by the way, which is the nicest airport and easiest in the country and the best. Come on now. You got to give it up. Come on now. I'm not a homer here. I'm calling like it is. And they move you quick, though, when you're there to pick somebody up. And you can't stay there too long. And then you got to circle around. You know how they do it. Can you imagine Brady? Brady's got a big pickup truck, by the way. I won't tell you exactly what it is because he doesn't want to be about it. But he drives a pickup truck. And can you imagine that? He's there waiting in the loading zone, waiting for Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown to town. And then he brought him to his place. How about that? But I do recommend, and I can't wait to read it, A Season in the Sun by Lars Anderson. This was really good. This was on Joe Buck's Fan this week. I like to read the comments from those that are reading the Joe Buck's Fan articles. And it was another Brady story, and whatever, the great, what he was doing, blah, blah, blah. And there was a fan on Joe Buck's Fan that wrote, he had just about given up on football living in Tampa. The Gators sucked. They suck now. Dan Mullins and all, oh, God. USF has sucked. The Bolts have sucked, he said, for a decade. TB12, you've renewed my love for football. Like, thank you. And I actually laughed and made a mental note of that comment. And I think a lot are like that. He has changed everything. I said, let me tell you a little, let me give you a little story here, okay? It's a beautiful day. We're out at the field at One Buck. We're waiting for players to come to do the interview, media session. And it's done outside, by the way. It's right against the wall. They got a backdrop. They got a tent covering the entire length of the back of the entire facility now. It used to be out there, and now they have covering because of the sun. Very nice. Thank you, Glazier family. And so we're waiting, and Nelson Luis, who is tremendous, he is the head PR, the PR director for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I've known him from a long time. When he was young, he came up, he was under this guy Chip Namias, and then he moved on. I think he was even with the Houston Rockets, came back. And then he's been through a couple of regimes here with the Bucs, and now, of course, under Arians. And he goes, hey, Rock, how's it going? I said, what's happening, Nelson? How you doing today? And I said, Nelson, it really is amazing that there has not been one controversy with this Buccaneer team. And he's like, stop it, Rock. And he started knocking. Is there any wood here? And he knocked on the pole that was holding up the canvas roof. It's metal. It's like, is there any roof? Stop it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not trying to jinx you. And he goes, you know what? I'm thinking that, you know, of all the bad that we've had to endure, finally it has turned around. It's just the karma right now. And I just laughed. But it is true. You know, you see these other teams and you see there's some player that gets in trouble. This guy did that. This guy's squawking here. Now, that comes with winning, and it also comes with playing with the GOAT, I'll tell you that. But it really is amazing. And I'm not trying to jinx anything. I just thought I would throw that out there a little bit. All right. Why are the Buccaneers so much better at home than they are away? Why is that? Now, the Joes, or one of the Joes, on Joe Buck's Fan, they called it the Den of Depression. Not anymore, though, Joe. Raymond James Stadium. Why? Why are they so much better at home? So much better. Is it really just because of the crowd? Because last year, again, they didn't play in front of anybody. So there was no home field advantage when they would go on the road. It was easy. It was quiet. And as a matter of fact, they talked about that this week. When they played Washington, that was a strange playoff game. Oh, that's another thing that they hit on quite a bit, from Arians to Leftwich to some of the players. They hadn't played most of those guys. It was only really Gronk and Brady. They hadn't played in the playoffs. And you combine that with nobody in the stands. That was weird. That was weird last year. It ain't like that now. You're getting fans that are jacked up to see the Super Bowl champs, and they think their team is going to bring it. And so maybe that's it. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. But let me give you some stats. The Buccaneers at home, at Ray J, the former Den of Depression. There's got to be a new name. Maybe Joe has a new name for it. But at Ray J, they're averaging 40.5 points a game. 40 points a game. When the Bucs play on the road, they're averaging 24.5 points a game. Why is that? Why? Oh, they're, you know, let me give you another stat. Why are they not sacking quarterbacks? The Bucs only have 17 sacks. Last year, they had 48. It's not like Todd Bowles is not blitzing. They are the number one blitzing team in the NFL. Arian says, we're getting to the quarterback. We're just not getting them down on the ground. As far as interceptions, it's not bad. 8 games, Bucs have 10 picks. That's good. Jamel Dean, Mike Edwards, 2 apiece. Last year, in 16 regular season games, they only had 15 picks. They've already got 10. So ball hawking, it's not that bad. Penalties. What the fuck? What is going on? 59 penalties, 580 yards, 11 penalties against the Saints for 99 yards. Arian says it's technique and it's fundamentals. And you can't coach it much more than that. So I don't know. I remember now again, last year after the bye week, everything went great. But this is a different year. You can't expect this to happen again. The exact same thing. We shall see. What happened to Devin White? Preseason Defensive Player of the Week. Now, Arians was asked on local radio on DAE what happened with Devin White, and he's like, well, he's not too bad. This comes from the secondary. Again, he was sticking up for his player. But in black and white, Devin White, no sacks, no forced fumbles, no fumble recoveries, no interceptions. I'm going to tell you the good and the bad. He does have 61 tackles, and that leads Tampa Bay. But as far as the splash plays, he ain't making it. You can get on your horse. You can ride around Ray J. You know, you're the young guy. You're young. You're fast. You're strong. You're supposed to be the man. You ain't playing like the man. So I'm waiting to see when the switch is going to be turned. I would like to see a little bit more of Gio Bernard. I looked up his numbers. 20 catches, 109 yards, 3 touchdowns. In the red zone, 2 touchdowns, 6 carries. He's averaging 8.4 or 8.5 yards per carry. They brought him here. Why are you not using him a little bit more? Now, I tried to get him to loosen up a little bit. He's a veteran. He's confident. He's been around, but he is like Todd Bowles when he's up at the podium. He's not as bad as Rashad Perryman is really, really shy. And Bowles does not like to talk to the media. And it's funny because if you see him talking to anybody else, he's got a good sense of humor. He sits down on this upside down like garbage can and I'm not that far away. He's like a fun-loving guy. But when he's in front of the media, he's not. But Gio Bernard gives stock answers, man. And I know it doesn't matter how you are on the football field. And I said, Gio, you have now been here for half of a season with Tom Brady. What is there anything that stands out that you did not know? What can you tell us, man? You're in the huddle. You're around him. But he just gave a standard answer. I really didn't even use it. I didn't even post it. It was just like, he works hard. He works hard and da-da-da-da-da-da. But as far as Gio Bernard, I would like to see more of Gio Bernard. That's what I would like to see. All right. Couple of things. Let me go real quickly around the NFL. How am I doing on my time here? I don't want to. Oh, we've been going about 42, 45 minutes. So let me, we're in the fourth quarter now. Let me wrap this baby up a little bit. Bottom line, Redskins have been disappointing. Okay? Fitzmagic gets hurt. Heinicke he's been up and down. He can hurt you, though. He can hurt you. The defense was led by Chase Young, and he has not been the same. Jack Del Rio took that. He's the defensive coordinator. He took that D from a bottom five to a top five, and there was a lot of expectations on the defense, and it hasn't happened. And the Buccaneers, like I said, maybe a 10-point favorite in this thing. They've got the fire. But are they not going to play good on the road? That's the thing I don't know. But the vibe I got was good inside one buck. All right, real quickly, let me go around the NFL. All right, I don't do the 1 o'clock games because even though this is 24 hours before kickoff, you might be the day before, you might be an hour or two here before kickoff, you might be right before kickoff. So I stay away from the 1 o'clock games because they're already going on. 4 o'clock games here. Today, the Panthers at the Arizona Cardinals, the Panthers with Cam Newton. You still got JP. Oh my God. Arizona Cardinals just keep on winning. The 4:05 game, the LA Chargers and the Vikings. I don't know what to make of the Chargers. Are they for real? Yeah, Justin Herbert is good. I'm not sold yet. I don't know if they're there. 425, the Eagles at Denver. Denver beat this Washington football team. They're still far from there. And the Eagles, same thing. Seattle at Green Bay. Oh, my God. Almost said Brett Favre. The Karen of the NFL, Aaron Rodgers. He makes too much news. He is really, really good. He was the damn MVP after the first game. He has come on, but he's too much. He is a distraction, man. He really is. Whether you agree with his policy or not, and the antibodies and checking with Joe Rogan and ivermectin and all of that, and not lying. And he is vaccinated or not vaccinated. What did he say? I mean, it's, oh my God. I mean, I just think it's too much. It's too much. But anyway, Green Bay's at home against Seattle. And then the Sunday night game is the Kansas City Chiefs at the Las Vegas Raiders. The Chiefs are, I watched a lot of them last week of their game. They're just not the same. They are just not the same. It's not like Mahomes lost it. He's still talented. Tyreek, they got good players. Reed didn't forget how to coach. They're just not the same. They're just not the same. And the Monday night game is the Rams at the San Francisco 49ers. Boy, there's some heat on Shanahan, huh? And the Rams, Aaron Donald has got a new buddy now in Von Miller, OBJ. I thought it was a great line by Arians when he was asked about OBJ. He's like, I'm more concerned about Aaron Donald than OBJ being with the Rams. Rams are all out. Rams are going for it. They got a good coach. They got a good system. Stafford is loving it. They're loaded. Ooh, baby. Baby, 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 baby. All right. You know what? I have a few other things here, but I think, you know what? You got to know when it's time to fold. You got to know. You don't want to overdo it, and I don't want to bore you out. So, Bill Curry Ford in Tampa, BillCurryFord.com, Sean Sullivan, GM, been in business, the Curry family, 61 years. They give a Joe Bucks fan discount and a nationwide lifetime guarantee on new and used vehicles. No one else does that I know of. Go to BillCurryFord.com and just go to their showroom, quarter mile, half mile, right up the street on Dale Mabry, right up on Dale Mabry, north of Raymond James Stadium, BillCurryFord.com. I'm looking forward to it. If you're in the Tampa Bay area and you want to be with some Buccaneer fans, you want to hang with the Sage, go to Big Storm Brewing. That is on 49th Street in Clearwater. I know they have another location. Got a couple of locations now. And party with the Sage. Stay on Sage's social media. Joe Bucks fan discount. Joe Bucks fan. And there you go. All right. I will continue to be at One Buck. I like to be there. Anybody can look up stuff on the internet. Everyone can. But I like to be there. And I will continue to do that. God willing. Give me the health. Let me keep going. All right? All right. Enjoy the game, and I will talk to you next week, 24 hours before every Buccaneers game. This is Bucks Kickoff. JoeBucksFan.com. Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, GOAT.